Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, welcome back to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insight. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. Not from the studio today. We are on the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo. And in this segment, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Vice President and CLO Agency with New York Life Insurance Company. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Morris Sims. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just great, Stone.
Morris, do you mind telling us a little bit about New York Life?
Sure, be happy to. We're a financial services company, been around for about 170 years now. We provide financial services to our clients, and we do so through life insurance, annuities, financial services, long-term care, and those kinds of things to help people with their protection needs, their wealth accumulation needs, and just to help them meet their financial goals and objectives.
Now, how important is learning and development in your organization?
Well, there are two different audiences that I work with primarily. One is our managers who are managing the offices in across the country. And then our agents. We have about 12,000 agents. And we hire about 3,500 agents a year. So these are folks who may or may not have any sales experience, and they may or may not have any knowledge of financial services. When you think about it, most folks don't really have a whole lot of knowledge about life insurance unless they happen to be in the insurance industry.
So now, regarding sales, is it possible to teach someone who isn't a natural salesperson to be a salesperson?
Oh, yes, absolutely. When it comes to that, we hire folks sometimes, Lee, that, golly, the last thing they sold was Girl Scout cookies.
And that's pretty easy to sell, Morris.
Yeah, that's a product much unlike life insurance. But it certainly is possible. It's a process. It is a relationship-building opportunity. And by George, I always like to say I can teach anybody to sell most anything.
So what is your backstory? Did you come up through the sales ranks? Did you come from an entirely different industry? Or how'd you get here, man?
Well, that's a great question as well. I started out with a degree in chemical engineering.
Oh, of course. Makes perfect
sense. That's a logical precursor to selling.
And after 5 years of being a chemical engineer, I kind of decided that really wasn't a whole lot of fun. And I wanted to do something that was a lot more fun than that, and I thought selling life insurance would be that. And it was for me. It was great. I did a stint for about 3 years as an agent with New York Life and was successful in doing so. And they said, hey, you seem to like to work with agents. Why don't you come over here and train people? So I did that in our offices in the field and the zone, and then went to the home office to run different segments of the training operation. And now I run what we commonly call NILAC University, our training operation for our field agents and managers.
So now how has training changed over the years?
Oh, drastically. We've gone to, I was telling Malou a moment ago, we have two virtual classrooms in our building in New York, two complete studios where we do web-based training live across the country. We'll do some 300 shows a year.
Wow. So like almost on the hour you're doing some, must feel just, like that, right?
Just about. I have two full-time producers on staff right now, and I'm lucky enough to have an outstanding staff that does all of our virtual classroom work, from the developing and designing to the production and actual carrying out of the webinars and virtual classroom sessions.
So that's a whole new set of skills, though. You need a group of people that understand instructional design and with particular respect to how to design instruction that's going to be delivered effectively in that medium. That's got to be a real challenge, or at least at first it must have been.
It was quite a challenge to begin with because we really didn't know what we were doing.
We don't say that out loud. I wouldn't lead with that.
We're going to edit that out, Morris.
Thank you. At the time. And the good news is that we all kind of recognized that we didn't know what we were doing, and we went out and got help. We went out and got help in the form of a full-time consultant that came in and spent several weeks with us full-time in this industry and taught us how to do this and where to start. And we started on our own coming to conferences just like this one, ASTD. And we saw Ruth Clark and read her book on virtual classrooms and began to learn the technical aspects of producing good training in a virtual space. Because as we know, training doesn't happen just off the cuff. Training doesn't happen shooting from the hip. Training is a science. It's an expertise. There's art to it, of course, but it is an expertise and a skill that you have to learn, and you have to learn how to do it right.
And so when you're implementing some of this learning in the field, the people are doing this on demand, or they're showing up at a certain time and day, or is it a combination?
All of the above. It's very much a blended learning solution where we do different things for different people, different strokes for different folks, right? So a brand new agent might spend anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a week in some kind of a training operation somewhere in his office, from individual one-on-one training with his manager to classroom training, or even participating in one of our virtual classroom sessions. However, an agent who's been around, let's say, 5 to 10 years, they may be involved in one of our long-term or advanced planning series that they're going to be in a virtual classroom twice a month, but in between that, they're studying and learning on their own, doing some online things, doing some projects where they have to actually go out and utilize what they've learned.
So talk to us a little bit about this this idea of a community of practice. I've heard that term before. I know Lee has as well, but what is it in general, and what is it more specifically for New York Life?
Well, what we have done, we found Michael Molinaro and I are the chief learning officers for the company. I take care of the field. Michael takes care of the home office and our employees. And basically what we learned as we began to get to know each other is that there are about 4 or 5 different training organizations within New York Life.
Oh, wow.
And we really weren't doing a very good job of communicating between us. So we began to bring that group together, or provide an opportunity for that group to come together and to learn from each other, to essentially share best practices and to share what they were doing. Our groups were not even knowledgeable about what, for instance, the training and the service organization, we didn't know what they were doing or what their objectives were. We didn't know what the training was going on in our enterprise technology area and the IT area was, or what they did. So we brought our group together and became essentially a community of practice in the area of professional training and development. From there, last year, we were together in this group, and someone said, wow, why don't we go deeper and see if we can create some communities of practice around different training skills and objectives. For instance, we started one last year with a group of people from all these different areas who began to work on evaluation, metrics and measuring and evaluating our training, and what we could learn from each other and what we could learn from outside that maybe would allow us to begin that first step of setting some standards for learning at New York Life that would cross all the different business areas.
So when you do that, does that allow you to kind of create best practices and maybe some economies of scale in certain tools that you use? Because now you can all use get on the same page?
It really does. We found a couple of tools that other areas were using that my group wanted to get involved with very, very badly, and some things we were doing and some tools we were using that other areas wanted to learn more about and begin to utilize. And we also found that we each had different relationships, and sometimes we had relationships with the same vendor and different contracts. So it helped us from that standpoint as well to kind of centralize our work as a learning organization to be able to more effectively and efficiently utilize our resources.
So any particular tips that you might share to have people just genuinely participate in the community of practice, contribute consistently, and get the most from it, something maybe you've learned over the last few years about cultivating a good, solid community of practice that would cause them to really participate at a high level?
Well, I think we're lucky in that we're doing it with a group of training professionals. It's like when you get to do a live facilitation session with a group of training professionals, they know what they're supposed to do and they do it. You ask them to stand up, they stand up. The same thing's true here. They understand what we're trying to accomplish, and the great news is they want to be involved. They want to be involved, they want to learn, they want to grow, because that's their whole world. Their whole world is helping other people learn and grow, and very rarely do they get the opportunity to take time out to learn and grow in their own world, in their own business. And this is a way for them to be able to do that.
What a great company it must be to work for. I mean, it really does speak to the culture and the fact that the organization is willing to make the investment in these kind of resources. Speak to that for a moment before we wrap, if you would. Just the culture at New York Life. How would you characterize that?
Well, I've been there for 30 years, so I'm a little prejudiced probably. But I can tell you that for my 30 years with New York Life, it's been nothing but family. And just like any family, there are challenges that come along from time to time. But Also, just like any family, there's care and concern for the individual as well as for the family itself, the family organization. In fact, the acronym for New York Life Insurance Company is NILIC. And you'll hear people talk about the NILIC family because that's who we are and what we do. So with that in mind, training and development becomes just a regular part of life. It's something that we feel very strongly about, that certainly we can't hire and develop people in the field at the rate we're doing that without a good, solid training professional at doing the work and getting the job done. So we've got almost 200 people around the country that do that training. So there's a lot of investment in training at New York Life. And if you look at the home office, same thing's happening there. We have executive leadership and strategical leadership training going on right now that's, it's a one-of-its-kind new thing for New York Life. So we're very pleased to be a part of a company that has that kind of culture.
Well, you must be doing something right because you're the Training 125 company for the fourth year in a row. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what does that mean to you and your organization?
The fourth year in a row and the fifth year overall. You guys are rocking it, right?
We've had a blast, and it's been a lot of fun. The first one we did as NILIC University alone, and since Michael's come on board, we've been able to do one for the entire company. And that's even better because we are able to include all the training resources from New York Life. But it's a wonderful thing. When we're hiring agents, for sure, these folks, as I mentioned, may not have a whole lot of experience in our industry. They may be actually coming from a second career, just like I did, from engineering into the insurance world. One of their biggest questions is, how am I going to learn how to do this? Mm. How am I going to learn how am I going to learn what I sell? Where am I going to find my next person to talk to help? How is all this going to get into my brain, and how am I going to learn the skills necessary to do the job and to be as successful as you guys keep telling me I'm going to be? Well, that's where we come into play, and it's great to be able to say, we have this curriculum. It's a wonderful curriculum. It's all-encompassing, and it's recognized in the training industry as being one of the 125 top training organizations in the United States. So it means a lot to us.
Well, obviously, it's very rewarding. You guys have earned it. Keep up the good work. Morris, if somebody wants to reach out, can they catch up with you at LinkedIn, Twitter, something like that?
Absolutely. LinkedIn is probably as good a place as any. I have definitely got an account on there, and I'm a member of a couple of the nice groups on there as well. So, yes, absolutely. Would love to hear from anyone on LinkedIn.
Well, thanks again so much for coming by and visiting with us. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.